then we reveal some interesting news, which our producers just happened to make up.
Well, our first story today was leaked to us from industry insiders, and this is a hot one. Word is that award-winning Arista recording star Alan Jackson has been signed to a supporting role in the new movie California Cowboys, set for filming this fall.
That's not true, but it gets worse.
All good-looking new artist, we believe it is too. However, Alan is sure to raise some eyebrows because his movie debut calls for two nude scenes, something no other country artist has done before. We're told Alan is on his way back to Nashville from a Hawaiian vacation and could not be reached for comment, but his fans had plenty to say, so we took to the streets to get their reaction to Alan's decision to bear all.
I don't like that at all.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I am Tom Takkar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness, Tommy McNamara.
This week it's country Tommy McNamara.
Oh, I like this character.
It's my new character. I'm doing the whole episode in character.
What sort of differences do we have to expect?
I drink...
Okay.
Biscuits.
Oh, biscuits?
Yeah, I eat biscuits.
Speaking of piss, check out my little video on Instagram where I accuse a woman, I convince a crowd to cheer that they all drink piss. Very podcast themed vid. It's on my Insta. Although I don't know when this is going to be out, so that could be months ago. Anyway, let's welcome our guest today, the hilarious Kenny DeForest.
What's up, dudes?
How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you, man?
Good. Good to see you. We're talking Alan Jackson today.
Hell yeah, man.
Exciting.
Country?
Yeah, dude.
We're going country.
The soundtrack of my childhood.
So you're a Missouri man.
I'm a Missouri man. Southwest Missouri man.
Ooh.
Oh, Zark.
What's the difference between Southwest Missouri and the rest of Missouri?
Well, it's Missouri.
Oh, I'm sure.
It'd be the big difference. Well, Missouri's weird. It's like a middle state. So, you know, I've done a joke about this before, but we were like neutral in the Civil War. And weirdly enough, that's like kind of what the culture of Missouri is. It's
right.
Like we don't know what we are, but a lot of people really gravitate towards the southern. It's a very rural farming state.
Sure.
A lot of that. So country music is king.
Yes.
In the state of Missouri. So,
right.
Well, when after Nelly retired, country
oh,
music
I
is
see.
King.
So Nelly
but
is
Nelly's
king.
Also country rap. I mean, he's country well, he has grammar. That
sweatsuit. He did an album with Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a... Who did Accidentally Racist? It's not Nelly.
LL Cool J.
That was LL Cool J and Brad Paisley, but Tim McGraw and...
And Nelly did... Nelly I did. Actually like that song.
Yeah.
Can
and
we
that,
listen
that wasn't
to
even about
second.
Racism.
They did a whole album.
What was that? Is this on my head? I think about it over and over again. I can't stop picturing you with him.
I think that is the
it's
only
a good
words.
Song.
I think that's the only words.
Tommy loves it. Tommy's dancing.
I think we should dedicate more time to this song.
I think we should do a whole episode about this song and Accidentally Racist.
Did not interact with rap at all, to my knowledge, at least.
Nope. I don't believe he did. But he is a badass.
That's true.
I have a little video that I kind of want to play from also, where it's funny that, so we should talk about the prank we just heard that was played on people where there was a movie that Alan Jackson was going to be doing nude scenes in.
So he wasn't actually in any movie.
The right, but it's the prank.
And
yeah.
Then the prank was, so they put it on the news that he was in a movie with nude scenes. Then they interview one of his fans, and she goes, I don't like that at all. Kenny couldn't hear the video. So
yeah, I did. I missed it.
It was very funny. You'll have to listen to the whole episode. I watched a video from TheBoot.com where they talk about Alan Jackson's badass controversies and his career, and I want to play a little bit of it. I'm going to skip around because it's like 4 minutes, but there's one thing that's relevant because they talk about how he did underwear commercials, or he did Hanes commercials, I think, but he refused to do, he wouldn't pose in the underwear.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And they like make it sound like that's cool.
Wow.
All right. Here is
another great fact about Alan Jackson before you hit play is he was also the spokesman for Shoney's.
Is it true?
You know it is.
What is that Shoney's?
Shoney's is a shithole of a like a. What is it? It's like Shoney's, a worse Denny's.
Shoney's makes Golden Corral look like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Is basically what it is.
But I used to think it was cool to go to Shoney's as a kid. I was like, hell yeah. What's his
Any
name?
Buffet.
Frank Ocean has a Shoney's reference in one of his songs on Blonde, and I love it. I think it's part of what I love so much about him, that he threw Shoney's in there. But yeah, it has a shitty-looking bear as its mascot. It's like not even a good-looking bear.
And Kenny, you're from the Shoney state.
I'm from the Shoney state. Shoney 7, I'll Shoney 8.
Oh, boy. I'm looking for... The Shoney's. Oh, it's they, you can't even find Shoney's anymore. Damn. Where's this mascot? Do they even not have a mascot? Did I picture a mascot that they have?
No, there was a
have?
Bear. There was definitely a bear.
I knew there was a bear.
They're just trying to scrub Shoney's from American history.
Quit trying to erase my people.
Yeah. This is erasure at its highest level.
All right. Let's play this video.
Yep. Times sure have changed since Alan Jackson was a boy in Noonan, Georgia. Did you know the way he introduced himself to his future wife would probably get him arrested today?
So here's what's annoying about this video. They start with that. Yeah. Then they don't talk about that for a while. What? And so I was watching it like, when is this going to come back up? And then they go into his like how he like boycotted the CMA. Or he didn't boycott. He was mad that they made him play to a backing track. So he had his drummer perform with no drums. He was just air drumming as like a bit. I like a lot of the shit that he does, to be honest. And like there was somebody who it might be in this video actually.
All right, let me get a moment. Guess.
Yes.
A guess is how the illegal wife thing.
Yes.
Did he insider trade with her?
He sent some emails from government laptops.
His ACM protest. In 1994, he wore a Hank Williams t-shirt on the red carpet. Everyone else was wearing tuxedos or dresses. They should have known this was coming. Do you see it? Check out Alan's drummer. Yeah, the guy isn't holding sticks because Alan is protesting being forced to sing to a track. About 5 years later, at the CMAs, when he stood up for George Jones.
I had choices.
Great song.
Yeah.
You see, the possum was only given 1 minute to sing his song, so Alan did it for him and the crowd went bonkers.
That's cool.
That is cool.
I'm going to skip forward to the part about his wife. Oh, wait, here's the underwear thing.
Bloom Underwear and signed a $40 million contract. No posing. Trust us, we looked. He just did commercials and
That part's weird.
That is weird.
It makes it sound like he's like, yeah, we wanted to jack it to Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackin.
Just us, we beat up.
For fans of country music and a reliable comfort fit waistline. Tall, quiet cowboy might have stood up to the man, but he wasn't afraid to work with the man either. During his career, he's endorsed underwear, Ford trucks, and Miller Lite. Remember this commercial?
Tommy's going to give this playlist a 6.
Trust me, I'm drunk.
All right, here's the part where they start talking about his wife.
In 1979, he married Denise Jackson. Yep, she was already a Jackson. And in the years since, they've had 3 kids, split up, got back together, bought a bunch of houses, sold some of them, helped America through 9/11, fought cancer, and guided one of the most impressive country careers of all time. Was it love at first sight? More like love at first fright. When she was 16, she was getting down at the Dairy Queen when Jackson rolled up and tossed a penny down her shirt. And then he asked to retrieve it. That didn't work, so he left. Hid in the back of her car, and as she drove away, scared the peanuts out of her. Okay, if there are kids or teenagers watching, we can't stress this enough. Do not try this. You'll likely get punched, killed, or arrested. But in mid-70s rural... That was just having a good time. So now you know, Alan.
Oh, it was just having
a, good time.
Scaring a woman in her car?
In mid-70s. It was never that. Ever. It was never, ever just having a good time. How old was he at this time?
They did not say, and I have a feeling there's a reason why.
Yeah, I mean, he had to have been born in the... Well, I don't know. Maybe he was a kid. Who knows?
He looks very young in the pictures, so I don't know. But he threw a penny down her shirt, then asked if he could get
it out.
That's
also not the voice to tell that story. That sounds like when you're like reviewing like a delightful animated movie.
He threw a penny down her shirt and then asked to retrieve it. And then he hit in her car and scared the peanuts out of her.
Scared the peanuts out of her is my favorite part.
Yeah, make sure we...
That is horrific.
Make sure we censor the language in this assault story.
When O.J. Imagine. Approached Nicole Brown Simpson with his knife, she had the peanuts scared out of her.
She knew she was in a pickle.
Now, what OJ did would be considered murder. But in mid 90s California, it was just having a good time.
Oh my God.
I found that video right before you guys got here, so and I've funny. Never been more excited about anything.
Oh God.
There's also a weird video I found. So,
Love at First Fright.
Children, don't try this at home, but it does work. If a woman doesn't react to your advances, scare her in her car. Get in her car the way that a serial killer would.
What are you going to do? Thing. Give up?
I also, yeah, that is a pretty bold statement to say helped America through 9/11.
That's, I raised, because look, we're going to talk about this a little bit.
We should do this first.
I think you're right, because...
Do we open with that?
Let's open with it. Let's hear a little bit of the song.
Yeah, what I was going to say. Let's play the song. Okay. Because I think there were only two Alan Jackson songs that I really knew as Alan Jackson songs. There were other one when I was listening to him, I was like, I know this song.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
The only two I knew were, which isn't on your playlist, 5 O'Clock Somewhere.
Yeah.
Because he was the other guy in that.
Right.
And then this song, which I knew because South Park made fun of it.
Yes.
Right. So here it is. Where Were You?
Which to me is, whatever.
Let's hear it, and then we'll talk about it. You fucking... I just get so mad.
Got that ukulele coming in?
That's it, I'm healed.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones? Pray for the ones who don't know? You rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below. Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God.
Okay, first of all,
yep.
A country singer admitting he watches CNN?
I was pretty brave. I was just I like that.
When I was listening to that this morning, I was...
My friend Dave made that point. Shout out Dave Corner. He's also the reason I picked Alan Jackson, because he tweeted a lyric of his that we're going to listen to earlier. And he was like, if this song doesn't move, if these lyrics don't resonate with you, I'm sorry for you, or something like that. And I was he was great.
I do want to say, I was going to make the same point. We didn't need Dave to add that, but no. I was about to.
Revoke the shout out.
No, thank you, Dave.
If 9/11 happened this year, you know, I think there's no way he would have said CNN.
No way.
His fan base would have like turned on him.
Here's the thing, though. So I was trying to find, just because anytime we do country singers, I'm just curious, and we try to just avoid this, just because it just gets tiring to look into political shit with these people. But I did look it up, and there was a website that just said Alan Jackson is apolitical.
Yeah,
and he literally says, "I'm not a political."
Well,
man.
So what I like of all the 9/11 songs. This one is like the least egregious. It's like he includes Hollywood elites.
Yeah.
You know, he's including the actors in L.A.
Yeah.
It's about mourning together.
And
it's not about putting boots in asses.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It really was. And I realized before I listened to this today, I was mixing this song with another one in my head, and I was thinking of it as like an angry song, and it's not. It's a really sad. It's like I remember hearing this on the bus and crying because
it's great.
Yeah, it's really good, dude.
When that chorus hits,
it's
like,
really good, man. I was just tingling listening to it. I haven't listened to it in so long. Yeah.
And I do,
and it's
say,
like there's humility. So many people after 9/11 acted like badasses or like, yes, I have the answers. Like I respect somebody for being like, hey, look, man, I sing songs.
Yeah,
this is my contribution.
Yeah,
yeah.
I also just like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, like that. We need more of that.
For sure.
Back in the early 2000s, terrorizing a country was just good old fun.
Now, if you ran a plane into two buildings. Nowadays, if you ran planes into two buildings, President Obama would hunt you down and murder you. But in the early 2000s,
they'd make a Zero Dark 30 about you.
But so they had the South Park, the joke was Ladder to Heaven.
Yes.
Very funny.
It's so funny, but
I remember I loved South Park so much at that time in my life that, like, I just assumed the song sucked because South Park was making fun of it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But listening to it now, I'm like, this is pretty good.
It's good. Yeah. It's the same thing. So me and Kenny were talking about this right before you got here, but it was it's the moment, I think, that I grew up really liking Alan Jackson. I, like, loved him as a kid, and really? That South Park episode twisted my mind where I was like, oh, yeah, he does suck, and this is a cash grab. And it's not. I don't think it was.
No, like, yeah, Toby Keith's song was terrible.
Yeah.
Even in the moment, I knew that. I was like, this is bad. I want no part of this.
What? Tread lightly, Kenny. We like that song on the show.
Oh, I've talked about it.
That's a Stand By Your Band favorite, huh?
No, it's true. Like,
I believe Daryl Worley had a really bad one.
I don't know. Who's Daryl Worley?
He was a country singer that had some early aughts success.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
But it's the same way that, like, people have turned to, there's like certain moments that people turned on Nickelback. There's certain moments I Know Why You're Gay, you listen to Coldplay from 40-Year-Old Virgin. I think this was the moment for Alan Jackson for sure, where we were all like, oh yeah, I guess that sucks. But I really liked a lot of the songs that you put on this playlist, and we'll obviously get to more of them.
The next one I want to play, he actually wrote another song about 9/11. This is Chattahoochee.
What a guitar riff.
Oh, it's great. The video for the video for this song got me fired up.
Yeah.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living for the minute. Yeah, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim, and I learned who I was. A lot about living and a little about love.
He banged in that Chattahoochee.
You know he did.
Well, there's a part, I don't know if we got to, I don't think we heard it, but he's saying, like, that he, what is it?
I dropped her off earlier, yeah, but I didn't go home.
Fogged up the windows in my old
city. Here it is.
I was willing, but she wasn't ready. So I settled for a burger.
So I hid in her car.
Yeah, that's like the part. That
what he said right there is, I settled for a burger and a grape snow cone, dropped her off early, but I didn't go home.
Then he went to the chat.
First of all, he respects consent. Let's just give him a little respect there, you know?
Stand.
He respects consent until he hides in the back of your car. We stand consent.
Alan Jackson, I just want to point out on the cover of this, first of all, the album is called A Lot About Living and A Little About Love.
Which is based on song lyrics from this very song.
Ah. Also, I don't know if you saw the comment on Facebook from Johnny Singstack. So funny about this song.
But I just want to point out while you're looking for that.
Yeah, yeah.
The cover is him. He's got the cowboy hat, the leather jacket, the jeans, and he's on a turquoise motorcycle. And it's just the most country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The video, he's in boots, water skiing in the Chattahoochee.
Yeah. But you know, here's the thing about him, too, though. There's so many phonies in country music.
Uh-huh.
This is Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson just grew up. He is what they all pretend to be.
Yeah.
He is that.
I believe that. It seemed like it's somebody posted in the comments. I think it was George.
R.R. Martin.
Yes, it's a lot to read.
Don't finish your book.
Alan Jackson actually died in his post.
George Gordon wrote, Alan Jackson rules, he used to work at Kmart, which immediately I was like, I simply must stan.
Yeah, yeah, you have must. To, man.
Yeah, I found the Donnie Singstack line here. Oh, fucking awesome. Here it is. He said, there's that one part in Chattahoochee when he says his girlfriend won't have sex with him, so he dropped her off early, but he didn't go home. And I always wondered if that was supposed to imply that he just beat off in his car.
In the back of her car, probably. Oh, my God.
I also want to point out, because we...
At some point.
Yeah, for sure. I also want to point out, because Dewey Lovett had a lot of comments about the Where Were You song that we just listened to. She wrote, I love you. I just want to tell you I love him. Then she wrote, okay, nobody talked about the 9/11 song in the comments. But don't worry, I am ready. Hipster folk who never listen to country but like to have opinions on it, like boyfriends. What a weird category of
she just yeah. Now this is just about a guy.
Yeah, just off. Say the guy. How many boyfriends do you have who have made this point, Dewey? So they always say that he's a crook for making tons of money off of 9/11. But here's the thing: he perfectly captured the context of the moment in America, because that's what folk singers do, and I think that's priceless and cool. And it's okay to not play the song on 9/11. Okay, radio. Oh, I see. And then Casey James Lingo wrote: people said this about Bruce Springsteen too, and I think it's some truly awful, cynical bullshit. And I like that.
Me too, man.
We'll go back to Facebook later.
I mean, the whole point of art is to help people wrestle with difficult things.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, that song, he wasn't firing us all up, and he wasn't like, the end of the song wasn't so vote for George Bush so he can blow him off the map.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. He was just like, look, man, where were you? Let's think, you know, he's contextualizing the moment.
Yeah.
And it was all heartfelt, and it was from a place of love. And,
where were you at on that day, Kenny?
I was a sophomore in high school.
Your story's not adding up.
I was on a flight to Pennsylvania. And I wish I'd have been there, because it never would have happened.
I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I think about this all the time. Like, what? How far removed are we going to have to be for there to be a really good movie about 9/11?
So
true. There hasn't been one yet.
I remember being... we may have talked about this on the podcast. Shade.
I'm just saying, there hasn't been like a great movie about
it. I remember being hyped for World Trade Center.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Because I liked the cast. It was Nicolas Cage, right? Yeah. And it was, I think, Maggie Gyllenhaal was in it, who I loved. And they played the song Fix You for the whole trailer. And I was like, this is going to be the best movie I've ever seen. But they made it, I think, like 2004.
It was too soon.
Like
it was way too soon.
So it was really fresh, and it was just a bad movie.
There should be Cloverfield style. Like, I would love to see like a single cam,
God,
like
crazy, yeah,
like in it type deal.
Yeah, I think that's the only one.
You know,
that
Loose Change is a pretty good movie.
And the Oscar goes to Loose Change from YouTube, I guess.
Starring the shadow government.
Best actor.
Best actor.
The lizard people.
Best actor goes to Congress. For acting surprise. Oh, but also, like, okay, so are we going to make fun of the actors for making money off 9/11? Are we going to make fun of every comedian with a 9/11 joke?
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, come on.
Yeah. We should make fun of Carlos Mencia for ending his half hour with a 3-minute preachy thing about how you should, like, hug your families because of 9/11.
Oh, God.
A note with no punchline.
Yeah.
But the rest of his stuff is good.
Now, we've seen
anyway.
The heart of Mencia, but the heart of Mencia.
Oh, my God.
Dude, by the way, really quickly. So our buddy Stephen Castillo does this bit where, because he works for Saturday Night Live, and they do the thing where they make the post-its with the lineup for the guests and the music artists and the date. And he always does fake ones that are funny. And this... this week he had Carlos Mencia, and then I can't remember the
Godsmack
band.
Godsmack.
And it drives me insane how dumb people are. That he had comments on it that were like, oh my God, I thought this was real for a second. It's like, You really thought Carlos Mencia was going to host SNL in 2019? People, get it together.
Please.
All right, let's hear some more.
Okay,
Alan
well,
Jackson.
We're talking about remembering stuff. So let's play Remember When.
This is just a great song.
Oh, God.
And a great segue.
I do have a bone to pick with this song, though.
Remember when
y'all want to get married?
Time stood still. Love was all we knew. You were the first, so was I. Made love and then you cried. Remember.
That part's not
that's what I was about to say. That, I listened to this earlier, and I don't like this trope of like. And then I've never, that's never happened.
Yeah, where if she cried afterwards, you did something wrong.
I think there's a problem. It's not like a romantic thing. Like she's just bawling. Like,
do you think it's because you jumped out of the backseat of her car?
I've been kidnapped by this man.
And then she screamed.
It was a fright. Love at first fright. Oh, yeah, that part I don't love, but still very pretty song.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when
it's a good build.
That's very rare. String section in a country song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you'll have fiddle, but
yeah.
No, this song sounds like it was absolutely made for a wedding dance, you know.
Life through curves, there was joy, there was hurt, remember when.
Oh shit!
Is this not really kick in today? Oh, there's. I
think this is about as heavy as it gets, though. Get off your high hat.
Disassembled, rearranged, we came together, fell apart, and broke each other's.
I like this because he and his wife did split up and then get back together. And in the video, midway through the clip, let's see here.
It's just him having sex with another woman.
He's going to wear a cowboy hat. She's crying. Why does this always happen? this is midway through the clip. Jackson's wife, Denise, joins him in an intimate dance.
Yeah.
What a nice moment.
Also, another thing, too, he writes most of his own songs, which is pretty rare in big state.
Definitely.
Pop country.
Especially pop country. And he has a guy who writes with him, who gave him, I was reading about Chattahoochee, and it was Jim McBride, who co-wrote this with Alan Jackson, told AOL the story of the song.
He's yelling at his computer. Hello, AOL.
You said I've got mail. Why don't you keep talking? Why is that the only words you say to me? We don't talk anymore. It is weird that those are the only words. I guess that used to be like, good evening, Thomas.
Yeah.
You've got mail. Yeah. Anyway, he wrote the beginning of the song, and then Alan Jackson took the two lines that he wrote and then wrote the rest of it, apparently. But yeah, he writes most of his own shit, and it is impressive because it is a lot of pop country is either written or a lot of covers.
And there's also like so much, you know, like the reason Wheeler Walker Jr. is so awesome is he's mocking the machismo of country. But like, you know, he's a soft, like... You know, he's given the country boy permission to feel.
Yeah. I love it.
You know what I mean? I remember driving around listening to that song in particular with a fat chaw on my lip and just gazing into the sunset and just being like, man, life is beautiful.
Now, chaw, for the listeners, means penis, correct?
Yeah. I had a big fat penis in my mouth.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I do remember when. You're right, Alan. I will never forget.
That's from a collection called 34 Number Ones, which is an insane amount of number ones.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I looked at his Twitter bio, which is the biggest flex of a Twitter bio. I've seen a lot of Twitter bios that are flexes. Let's see Alan Jackson's Twitter bio. Alan has sold, first of all, he should be writing it, but Alan has sold nearly 60 million albums worldwide. He's written or co-written 24 of his 35 number one songs, 18-time American Country Music Award winner, 16-time Country Music Award winner, and 2-time Grammy winning artist.
Damn, you're right. Brag much? Shit. And tweeted for Tig once.
His most recent
tweet.
That
would be incredible. That would be so jarring.
I'm Alan Jackson tweeting for Tig. Can you break us off? Were there any tweets that he had that were interesting at all?
Or it's just really not him doing it. It's all promotional shit. The last one was. The last holla deal of 2019 is like this Christmas sweatshirt with Alan Jackson on it, where it's like, there's no way he wrote holla deal.
No. Maybe he's like, and also I wrote holla deal. It's in, in his bio. I came up with holla deal.
All right, let's keep going because we have so many stories.
Yeah. We'll do quick sampling of some
of
these.
What's funny really quickly is that so Kenny sent 5 songs.
Yes.
And I go, hey, can we get one more? And then you sent 6 more.
I couldn't stop. I could not stop. Because then I hit the 6 and then I saw a couple more and I was like, oh yeah, we gotta do that.
No, 5 was the top of the marble jar, and then you put 1 too many and they all spilled out.
Yeah. I had 34 to pick from, Tommy.
All right, this is Drive for Daddy G.
Oh, okay, so by the way, the quote that my buddy tweeted was from this.
Oh, okay, cool. Right.
Yeah.
Painted red, the stripe was white, it was 18 feet and about a stern line. Second hand from a dealer in Atlanta, I rode up with Daddy when he went there to get her. Put on a shine, put on a motor, built out of love, made for the water. Ran her for years till her transom got rotten. A piece of my childhood that'll never be forgotten. It was just an old plywood boat, the 75 Johnson with electric choke. A young boy, 2 hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would turn her sharp knife, make it whine. He'd say, you can't beat the way an old wood boat rides. Just a little lake across the Alabama line, but I was king of the ocean when Daddy let me drive.
Damn, this song rules.
Yeah, man.
We've heard kind of 4 different styles of country in these first 4 songs, and of those 4, this is my favorite tempo of country.
Yeah. For sure.
It's stories.
It's and in it's between like nostalgia. Chad Hoochie and Remember When.
Yes. Yeah.
It's stories, man. It's like honest. Like, this is what life in the country is.
Yeah.
This is the things that make your life feel full.
Yeah.
You know? And it's beautiful.
I just realized I had the most, I'm a very Midwestern man, but I had the most country experience of my life that I'm just remembering is that someone, we were all like a bunch of families at a lake house, and someone got a DUI on a boat, and we all passed around a hat collecting money for their DUI. That is the most southern thing that has ever happened.
How much did it cost?
I don't know.
How much could you have?
That's the Venn diagram of southern redneck and Catholic.
Yeah, that's so funny. That is crazy.
That's where we meet in the middle.
Yeah, me and my boys did that to post for OJ's lawyer.
Yeah, Rob Kardashian.
Man, oh wait, oh. Man, I wish I had a dad. Let's listen to. let's hear one more, and then we should go to Jared.
We'll take
before
the halftime break.
Yes,
there's so many songs. All right, this one is called, of course, "Midnight in Montgomery."
Ooh, okay. So quick backstory before we start. Just so you know, this song is about Hank. So every great country singer has a song about Hank Williams.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. And this is Alan Jackson's, and it's probably my favorite, about Hank.
Damn. Here we go. Midnight in Montgomery.
Ooh.
Damn.
Ooh. My man getting chills.
Oh, I love this song. I forgot. Yeah.
The pedal steel?
Hell yeah.
And I, whoop.
Midnight in Montgomery, silver eagle, lonely one. was on my way to Mobile for a big New Year's Eve show. I stopped for just a minute, see a friend outside of town. Put my collar up, I found his name, felt the wind die down. And a drunk man in a cowboy hat took me by surprise, wearing shiny boots, a nudie suit, and haunted eyes. He said, friend, it's good to see you. It's nice to
get scared.
When picked up,
love at first friend.
Was he ever really there?
Shit.
'Cause it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill, see the stars light up the purple sky, feel that lonesome chill. 'Cause when the wind is right, you'll hear his song, smell whiskey in the air.
This chorus is so long.
Always singing there.
Woo. Damn.
Woo. The Ghost of Hank, baby.
That song, I remember, used to scare me as a boy.
it's terrifying.
It's a ghost story.
Yeah.
I've heard of a marriage story, but...
And you know it's a country song when the ghost smells like whiskey.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, let's see. Jackson met up with William's ghost again, so to speak, when he was invited to join the Lost Notebooks project, spearheaded by Bob Dylan, to add music to the late singer's unrecorded lyrics. Oh, I want to listen to that. Damn. I didn't realize what that song was about when I was a kid. I just was like, oh, it's a ghost story.
Yeah.
It scared me.
Yeah, I don't think I did at first either. And then I lived with like a guy that was really... almost a country music historian level of, you know, he grew up in the South and
yeah.
rural South. So it was like, these stories are his stories too.
Yeah.
But was he
was
ever
the one that
really
explained
there?
It to me. Was he ever? Oh God.
What if that was what if that was Hank Williams ghost? all right. We should listen to Jared's voicemail. So this is a weekly segment on the show where we hear from our friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. Here is They Went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Alan Jackson. So we did Garth Brooks. I don't know if we've done any other like modern-ish country like sort of untouchables. And what I mean by that is that, like, you know, in the country world, this is, we're talking about like a Mount Rushmore person. Like, this is the Rolling Stones basically. So, you know, if you're talking about like modern country. So, I'm going to take a kind of maybe hard to believe to you guys stance on this. And that, like, because I don't listen to rap and I don't listen to country, I just don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to it. And so it's not pleasant to my ear. Like, I don't like it at all when I hear it, but I don't think that it's really, I think that I just have to trust that people who like understand the art form they know what they're talking about. So, you know, whatever the example would be of trusting someone's musical taste, you know, we've talked about it previously that like no one that likes, you know, great, great, great bands like Smash Mouth. It just doesn't exist. So whatever that equivalent is for like early country. So like, you know, someone who worships the ground that like Hank Williams Sr. walks on, or, you know, Johnny Cash or whatever. If they think that Alan Jackson is legit, then he's legit, I guess, is sort of my walk away pull quote or whatever. So obviously I'm never going to listen to it. I don't think it's pleasant sounding, but I guess it's not really up to me to decide. Whereas I feel like I have the right to sort of give my opinion when it comes to like rock and roll. So anyway,
Whoa.
Surprising.
I'm just an owner of a comedy club. I'm not a real political man.
I like Ty Glass and Maria Bamford and Jimmy Pardo.
Not sure if I could tell you the difference between a country singer that I hate and I stand.
You did it. All right, that was interesting, and I agree with that. And it brought to my mind, we've never done a Smash Mouth episode, have we?
No.
We got to get a Smash Mouth defender.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
We almost did. I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Interesting. Okay. Let's hear some more, AJ. I'm trying to find
a Smash Mouth defender. You might as well be walking on the sun, boys. I mean, come on now.
All right, next one. This is something I have to say all the time in my life. Don't rock the jukebox.
Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Every time I go into the club.
It's always rocking back and forth. Quit it. Knock it off. It's not made like that.
We don't put quarters in there anymore. You're not going to get anything out of there.
Don't rock the jukebox.
That's not a baby.
What if the song was just directed towards the Fonz?
It's just a subtweet. Don't jump the shark.
All right, here it is. Don't rock the jukebox.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones? My heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox. Play me a country song. Before you drop that quarter, keep one thing in mind. You got a heartbroken hillbilly standing here in line. I've been down and lonely ever since she left. Before you punch that number, could I make one request? Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones? 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stone. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox. Play me a country song.
All right.
All right. So I think it's kind of unfair he takes that shot at the Rolling Stones. Because Rolling Stones, they have some kind of country-ish twang occasionally.
Sure,
you know?
But he's not saying never Rolling Stones.
Yes.
He's just saying right now, country music is heartbreak music.
Yeah.
At this stage, I'm not ready to, I don't want to rock out.
Yeah.
I want to lean into the sadness. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about George Jones, that's where you do that.
Oh, yeah.
And
maybe we should, Alan, if you're listening, maybe you could make an amended version for Tommy that's, I don't want to hear the Rolling Stones unless it's one of the slower songs. I'll be all right with that also.
I mean, sure, brown sugar.
So just consider that.
Well, and you know, it's also like so much of country music, too, is showing respect to the forefathers.
Sure.
Which in a weird way, Jared said he doesn't listen to country or hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about how to reconcile those two a lot because I like both so
much.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's a very hip hop thing too. You sure. Shout out the founding father. You shout out the people that started it. You always
that's true. Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice. MC Hammer.
Eminem.
Only white rappers.
Yeah.
Bubba Sparks.
Oh my God.
Paul Wall. That's the four.
Whoever sang Shaniqua Don't Live Here No More.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. I do love in that song that honky tonk piano. It gets me every time.
Oh God. Yeah.
It's fun. It's very good. Let's cruise through. We have a lot more still, right?
So many more. Okay, we'll do it quickly. This next one is, of course, the blues man.
Oh yeah. Ooh, it's another oof.
This is classic American blues, this sound.
Play us the blues, you're the blues man.
Ding 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 ding.
He's just a singer. Natural born guitar ringer.
Not that.
Kind of a clinger.
Oh, oh stage one.
Needy.
Sad old song.
Stage one.
He's not a walk behind her. He's a new note finder.
Okay.
I don't think
his
he can
name's a reminder.
That's an F sharp, Alan.
What the gone. Fuck is this?
So he starts drinking.
Ooh, okay.
Hell yeah.
Some things that messed up his thinking.
Talking drugs, folks.
This was in the Miller Lite commercial.
That would be amazing. If a beer company just leaned in, you're sad, right?
None of them do this, that.
Miller Lite pairs well with pills.
Not too
there should just be like a Miller Lite. She's gone.
She ain't coming back. One night
when she sang in this song. Hey, baby, I love you. Hey, baby, I need you. Hey, baby, you ain't got to prove to me you're some kind of macho man.
Now, wait a second.
Yep.
He's saying, hey, baby, I love you. Hey, baby, I need you. You ain't got to prove to me you're a macho man.
Oh, wait. He's singing from the lady's perspective.
Yeah, because she misses her blues man who's out playing on the road.
So he's a Mrs. Doubtfire type.
Tommy.
Elaine.
Yes.
Elaine Jackson.
It'd be so funny if he was like, look, I don't want y'all to think I'm like this. And he comes out dressed in a costume as a woman. For this part, I'm a lady singing to the blues man.
J.K. Rowling comes out all pissed. This will not be real. By the nope. Yeah. Maybe she'll say something else. All right, we're going to keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving.
We got four songs left, and at least three of them are about drinking. So that's okay. Good.
Yeah. I mean, it's country music.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's about drinking into the heartbreak and then drinking yourself right back out.
Is there a way? So this one of my favorites on your playlist. This is Chasing That Neon Rainbow.
Oh.
Yes, this song rules.
This one awesome. And Blues Man are both very relevant to comedy. Like, here just to, like, a career, and, you know. This is a great song.
Daddy won a radio. He tuned it to a country show. I was rocking in the cradle to the crying of a steel guitar.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I love this.
Mama used to sing to me. Taught me that sweet harmony. Now she worries cause she never thought I'd ever really take it this far. Singing in the bars and chasing that neon rainbow. Living that honky-tonk dream. Cause all I've ever wanted is to pick his guitar and sing. Just trying to be somebody. Just want to be heard and sing. I'm chasing that neon.
That song
fucking cool. Yeah.
There's a line in it. I may have missed it that he just said it, but he says, like, he talks about how he's breaking even when he tours.
Oh, shit.
And I think he's referring to the early days of his career, but hearing it, I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Paid a lot of money.
Yeah,
to
you just
see,
got paid $40 million to sell underwear. Breaking even.
It's such a weird line, but I really like that song, and it's it's so good.
I love honky tonk. There's a bar in New York that we go to a lot called Skinny Dennis.
Yeah,
it's
baby.
Honky tonk, and they have honky tonk bands all the time. I just love honky tonk.
Absolutely,
dude, it's so fun, man. And it's like if you untangle your musical taste from your identity and just step back and enjoy it objectively, you'll realize how much it's stories, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember getting a hard time. Like, you like rap music and country? I'm like, I like stories.
Yeah.
I like good stories about life in different parts of this country.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I like learning about how people grew up and what it's like there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For sure. Weird thing. So he talks about how his mom would sing to him or whatever. His mom's last name was Music. Pretty interesting. Next song.
All right.
It's true.
What? It's true?
It was Ruth Music.
That her name can't be Ruth
I'm
Music.
I'm telling you, it's Ruth Music Jackson.
It's like Maybach Music. Ruth Music.
You gonna say Mama Ruth's last name?
Ruthie music.
Okay, next time. Just living on
living. I woke up in a new S10.
All right, living on love.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
Who's mad I included so many songs now? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, we're rocking out.
We're rocking. It's fun.
Two young people without a thing say some vows and spread their wings and settle down just what they need, living on love. She don't care about what's in style, she just likes the way he smiles. It takes more than marble and tile, living on love. Living on love, buying on time. Without somebody, nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme, living on love. It sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. It doesn't take much.
Love should go on Fear Factor.
Hell yeah.
Man, it would be so cool if every time you made a joke, a fiddle solo came in.
And that can happen. That can happen if you hire. If you spend enough on our Patreon, we'll send a fiddle player to your shows.
All right. We're running out of time. So let's. I'm going to play Summertime Blues, but let's also start getting some Facebook comments out there. So this next one is Summertime Blues.
Wait a second.
Try and earn a dollar. Every time I call my baby to try to get a date, my boss says, no dice, son, you gotta work late.
Damn.
Sometimes
damn,
I wonder what I'm gonna do, cause there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
He just wants to drive that boat.
I love it. So Corey Clifford writes, I hope it's a nice chat a-hoochie.
That's a good.
And it is. Yeah. Thanks, Corey. Jared Vernon writes the king. Then he had more.
We have no king but Caesar. Line from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Work a little.
So Pontius Pilate says, you know, you crucify your king, and they say we have no king but Caesar.
Jared Vernon also writes, not trying to stand by this, but I'm pretty sure he cheated on his wife. But who hasn't? Am I right? Hey, Jared, not everybody cheats on their fucking wife, buddy. Maybe don't say that.
Also, if it's unconfirmed, let's not.
Yeah, what the hell?
Let's start blasting. I can't confirm this, but I'm pretty sure his life should be ruined.
Mark Bookwalter writes, his Christmas album was a staple in my hillbilly family. Maybe we can. Well, there's already so many goddamn songs.
Let's do a Patreon about his Christmas.
Love
right
it.
After this,
love
we stick around for that.
Yeah, for sure.
So check out the Patreon.
Yeah, we'll baby.
Alan Jackson Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Billy Orm writes "Papa Top" again. Great music.
What about that's gonna be the last song?
Hell yeah. Ron Trimbath writes, "I like to believe the reason he never takes his hat off is because there's another little Alan Jackson living underneath it, and it's just a Russian doll effect after that."
That's awesome.
That's fun. Larry Fulford writes, fuck yeah. Specifically, chasing that neon rainbow holds up, and you can apply it to any silly dream you chase. Yep, exactly. Let's see. Oh, I like this. And then the end of the music video, Melissa Hahn writes that he gets offered $10 a set, and he's really excited to get the gig.
Wow.
I love that. Let's see here. Andy Sanford writes, we used to laugh at the song because the Chattahoochee song, because the river goes through downtown Atlanta and you do not want to be in it where we live, but rednecks out in the sticks love it. I never knew how much that muddy water meant to them. Zachary Boyce writes, he got bars on that Chattahoochee song. Oh, Brandon Ream writes, it's all right to be itty bitty. Which oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Itty bitty. It's all right.
A little town in a big old city. That doesn't even make sense. Yeah. Is that what he says?
He says a little old town or a big old city.
Oh, okay.
Might as well swim. Might as well smile. Because life goes on for a little bitty while.
Yeah, that's
see, again, he's all about togetherness. He's not judging the city folk.
Kyle Scanlon shared a song called I Still Like Baloney. Maybe we can play that on the Patreon, too. He said it sucks, but he likes Alan Jackson. Or he took a picture of his star. We read the Donnie Sengstack one. Chad Denick writes, if you talk a lot about living, be sure to talk at least a little about love.
That's true. Right. We've done that.
We did.
Those are his two favorite. He talks about living and love all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are his things. Overrated, those two things, I think. Shalewa Sharp writes, my mother used to sing his Ford truck commercial jingle all the time, I think mostly to annoy my father. She put it in the comments. It was like it's a YouTube clip, so we might be able to hear it.
Patreon.
Patreon. Yeah. We're putting a lot of weight on this Patreon.
It's going to be longer than the episode.
Let's see here. I always thought this jingle was one. Okay. Taryn Bradley writes, when I was little, I loved the Chattahoochee song. It kind of got weird though when I realized what a hoochie coochie was. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, it is insane that that's on the radio.
Hotter than a hoochie coochie. Yeah.
Is there another meaning to that than what it has to be?
Yeah.
And Mike, that's one of those where I just gave it the benefit of the doubt that maybe that's some sort of sea critter.
Which
or
also
something.
Is like, is hoochie like boozy? Because hooch is booze. So but is it like a
hoochie
drunk?
Is also a like a lady who's it's like a hoochie.
Now is it hot because he thinks it's hot or because it's burning?
I think a hoochie's coochie.
Is he slut shaming?
Like
is he slut shaming?
I think he might be
dude?
Slut shaming.
Oh come on, dude! You're trying Could to, be. But then you try to get laid just after.
Well, that's what he did when he didn't go home.
Well, listen, if she was a little sluttier, you wouldn't have had to drop her off, Alan.
Damn,
you know,
damn. You remember that Two Live Crew song? You ain't nothing but a hoochie mama, hood rat, hoochie mama.
Yeah, this
Alan
is
Jackson
a...
would like that.
I'm just picturing a country cover of "Hey, pop that pussy, hey, pop that pussy, baby."
Apparently he's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. That's what somebody else wrote.
Yeah, but he
that's
did all those
one.
Steroids. our final of the 11 songs, and you did. I think you did 11 for to be like an NFL.
I couldn't decide
offense.
If I wanted to do 9 or 11.
Oh, if the fiddle could come in right now.
Damn it. Somebody get us a fiddle soundbite.
We should do that forever.
Okay. For every joke.
The podcast is going to be so long.
And then people are going to be really offended if we don't give them the fiddle.
All right. Last song, Alan Jackson.
And every great country song, every great country singer gives you a song to just drink to, man.
And
this
that is
it.
This. Papa Top.
Hell yeah.
Papa Top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set 'em up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down. Like for you to listen to a joke I heard today.
Ooh, a joke.
From a woman who said she was through and calmly walked away.
That's not funny.
I tried to smile and did a while, but it felt so out of place. Did you ever hear of a clown with teardrops screaming down his face?
Yes.
Bagliacci.
Papa Top again.
Man, I'm a sucker for that can sound effect in the song. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Have another round, set him up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down.
Kenny, we'll give you the floor before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts you want to give us about Alan Jackson?
I think
you did a great job.
I think I forgot how much I like Alan Jackson, man.
This is
it's great. It's just the sound I grew up with, and I remember there was a commercial for a local radio station that would play Alan Jackson. You know, they'd play like five songs that you can catch on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, man, I love him. He's a sincere man.
It seems like it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he stands up for what he believes in.
Yeah.
You know? And his songs are about togetherness. It's not about divisiveness, which I'm all about.
Yeah.
This was so fun listening to these. I really
what a great time.
I don't think we should rank them because there are too many.
I'm still going to do it.
Okay.
Zero, because he cheated on his fucking wife. You sleaze.
No one else is hot.
Also, one tick on his record that no one brought up, I will say, when the Dixie Chicks performed at the CMAs with Beyonce, allegedly Alan Jackson got up and walked out, which I don't like.
Ooh.
I do not like that. So I'm going to have to dock him at least 3 points for that.
Yeah, that's not good.
Because Beyonce also had that country song, the Daddy Off Lemonade. That's what they were singing. It was a mashup of Beyonce's song, and then the Dixie Chicks had a song, and they mashed it up. So it fit, and he, you know, his whole thing was like, keep it to the country tradition, which has serious racial overtones.
Really annoying. Yeah. I don't fuck with that. But
you know what? That scares me, though, because I am someone who goes to the bathroom like a lot.
So true.
And like twice in a meal, you know, whatever. And I'm so worried that sometime I'm going to walk out before something and people are going to be really mad about
Hannah Gadsby's going to get on stage. You're like, I got to go.
And there's just going to be a camera following me.
His head bowed down. That happened to me.
He stumbles out in protest.
That happened to me at Black Panther. I went to see it in Boston, and I was at like a stand-up conference or whatever, the NACA or whatever, and I got a text in the middle of a movie from my buddy who was like, hey, actually, if you want to get back to New York right now, we're going to leave. And I was like, fuck, it was either that or I had to wait till the next day. And I was like, I got out of the theater, but it was the moment they made some joke about like a white scientist or they like put him down. And that was the moment that I stood up and walked out. And I was like, how many people were like, oh, this I couldn't handle it. Huh? Why you got to make it like that? No, but I really loved this playlist. This was a great time. Yeah. And it was nice to be... I was ready to make fun of this, to be totally honest.
Of course.
Like, there's stuff to make fun of, obviously. And also, I was going to originally play... He did the weirdest thing where he was on Home Improvement. And it's that he's on the show Tool Time as a guest, and he plays a song on Tool Time.
Oh. I did the first stand-up set on Tool Time.
He waves you over to the workbench. but there's like a weird joke in there where Al Borland is like, oh, it's another Al. And then him and Tim Allen have like a weird back and forth where they'll get along. It's very strange. God. But then he plays that song, I'm Crazy About a Mercury, which is a fun song.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
That I forgot about. But anyway, I was going to play that, but there's really no point. It's just funny that he did that. Yeah. They played a whole song on Home Improvement.
That's really funny.
Very strange for a sitcom. Oh, yeah.
The writers just couldn't fill 22 minutes.
They couldn't do it.
What about a four-minute song?
He played a full song, just him playing.
It's a
22-minute
episode.
Insane. And watching it today, I was like, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, also, if you're going to have anyone play music on Tool Time, it should be the band Tool.
Yeah. Like an 11-minute song.
Al keeps going, I don't think so, Tool.
I don't think so, too.
Let's hear a tiny bit to get us out of here. But I still like Bologna, just because I'm intrigued by this.
Yes.
And I think we should do a Patreon this just holiday. So.
Sure, sure.
And we've been too nice to him, so we need to get something to make fun of.
Yes. Let's do plugs and stuff before, actually, and then fade out with this.
Great.
What do you think about that? Kenny, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Like I love this podcast.
Or do we want to make fun of it after we hear it? Now I'm not sure. Did I fuck up? I may have fucked up. Let's just hear it to fade out, because I don't think we need to. I think it will probably make fun of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Is there anything you want to promote?
Yeah. Just follow me on the internet, Kenny DeForest. I don't really have any current. I mean, I have an album that's been out for a couple of years. I'm sure if you're hearing this, you know.
James Corden set.
Yes.
Yeah. You can watch
so
my
funny.
James Corden
Killer.
Set on YouTube. And just follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Kenny DeForest. And I'll have some new stuff coming out in 2020.
Hell yeah, baby. Check out Tommy's album, Who's Tommy?
Yes.
Yes.
Spotify, get it on iTunes, leave a review, and check out the reviews once again, because some people left some really funny stuff in there.
Some people.
There's I can name at least one very funny comment. is there anything else you want to plug, Tommy?
Go to TommyMcNamara.com, because I don't know when we're putting this out. So
for sure. I will be at, I think I'm going to be at, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be at Sketchfest coming up in January, and Dr. Grin's in Michigan, and I've got a bunch of other shit, Tree Fort and Boise Comedy Festival. And besides that, get on the Patreon. We did a little promotion of that just now, and check out my half hour. I would love for you to watch it, and keep it crispy. Bye.
Communications. Long distance internet relations. The world's a little faster every day. I know it's all well and good, and I don't embrace it like I should, but I wouldn't want to go backwards even if I could. But I still like bologna on white bread now and then, and the sound of a whippoorwill down a country road. The grass between my toes, and that sunset sinking low, and a good woman's love to hold me close.
That sucked.